to the last thing I wished I said. I'm Linda Overman, and today we are having a conversation with Kathy Bird. Kathy is a registered nurse who specializes in diabetes education. Primarily, her background is in obstetrics, and wonderfully so, she happens to be my sister, who I just discovered in 2020. Thank you, Ancestry.com. Thank you, Daddy, for being a bad boy in 1947 when you were married to my mom. But never mind. Kathy, who are we having a conversation with today?
Well, I chose to have a conversation with my biological mom.
And her name was?
Evelyn Scott Flores.
And she has passed away, right?
Yes.
And she was what age when she left?
She was I believe that she was 89. She was just a little bit short of 90.
And there are some really interesting missed opportunities, right? She lived not far from you, you discovered after the fact?
She ended up living not very far from me, right here in the same town that I live in, which is Hemet, California, which is amazing that she was here all that time, during the time that she was alive.
And what did you learn about her when you learned who she was?
Well, I learned that she had come from Oklahoma as a young, at 18, and ridden a bus to Los Angeles and came on her own. That would have been in the late 1930s, and that she married a man that was older than she was. Met and married this man. He was an optometrist, but he was also a pretty severe alcoholic. So she had my older half-sister, Carolyn, who is 6 years older than I am, and she divorced that husband. So that's what I knew about her. And so I believe, from what I can piece together, that she was struggling financially the whole time. During that time, it was difficult. She had a child to support on her own. I don't believe that she had much in the way of child support. And his visitation, the husband that she divorced, was very restricted with Carolyn, her child at the time. Carolyn was born in 1941 because of his alcoholism. And then he died when Carolyn was only 12. But in the interim, somewhere in 1947, in the spring of 1947, she met a man that we can, according to Ancestor DNA, is your father. And I was the consequence, and so here I am. And when I was, I was born December 28th, 1947, and she kept me at home for probably, I would guess, around 2.5 months or so, maybe 2 months. And then she gave me up for adoption, and I was adopted. It was a private adoption at the time through the physician that my adopted mother knew at the time. And he was kind of the go-between for the adoption. And so I was successfully adopted. And I think that, that went well for me and all my life. So I think I consider myself pretty fortunate. So that is one of the things that I would tell her, that I was lucky and I felt loved all my life.
Which is fabulous, because you hear stories about people in your position who don't have that kind of claim. So she, you had said to me, I think, in our earlier talks that she needed money, and that there was a purchase. She was given some funds so that, the adoption could at least benefit her to continue surviving with her daughter of six, I believe you said Carolyn was.
Carolyn was around six, yes. And Carolyn remembered that there was a baby and wanted to know from her mother, where's the baby? And I was named. My name was Kathleen. And then Kathleen was gone. And Carolyn asked Evelyn, her mother, what happened? And she said, oh, the baby died.
That's not unusual for that kind of situation then, to say that, I believe, right?
I don't think it was highly unusual, but wouldn't it have been more appropriate if people had more psychological awareness at the time to say, I'm sorry, but we just had to give your sister to someone who could take care of her because I can't. And I know it's sad for you, but
yeah,
that's what we had to do. And so all her life, Carolyn felt like I was alive, and she passed that on to her own daughter. And so that they were kind of searching for me. So that's why Carolyn's DNA ended up in Ancestry. And that's how come we found each other. And then subsequently, because of your first cousin, found you.
So yes, I love that. I mean, right in the middle of the pandemic is when I discovered you. And it was just so joyful, because I grew up like you did as an only child. Originally, I know your parents adopted a brother later, but you had quite a while of being on your own, didn't you, as an only child?
Yeah, until he came in. I was 7 years. I was an only child. Yes.
Right. And I always wanted a sibling, and my mother never remarried after my parents were divorced, and then my dad remarried, and you and I talked about. I don't know if my father knew of your existence because my father could never keep a secret. So I can't imagine that if he had known, he would have said something to his own mother or to my mother, even though they were only married about 7 years. And then he remarried a lovely woman for, until he died 40 years later. But I just can't imagine him not, if he knew that he wouldn't have said something. But again, we don't know, right? It's all conjecture.
We will never know. And that is a little bit of a sad part that we don't know. There's nothing that we can do about it, and we'll never know. And Carolyn, the older sister in all of this, said, I never asked her. I thought about asking her, but I just couldn't do it. And I thought, oh, golly, I wish you would have. But we'll just never know the circumstances if she was just a chance meeting. All we do know is that both of them had the background of Oklahoma in the background.
Yes. And then
living in Los Angeles, Hollywood area at the time. And that's all we know.
I think, didn't you say that you understood Evelyn to have been a bit, because she was single, obviously, by that time, and or divorced, and that she had gone out, she liked to go out to clubs, or I don't even know what clubs were like then.
Carolyn and Julie, Julie is Carolyn's daughter. Mm-hmm. That's what they said about her. They said, she liked to go out. She liked to dress up. They even have some of her clothes that she had worn that were very attractive. And so she liked to go out. And so I'm assuming when she went out, she might have had an encounter.
Well, it's fun to speculate because my dad never hit me as a person who went to any sort of clubs because he was kind of, I don't know, he just wouldn't. I mean, who knows, when he was young, this is right after, not long after the war, he'd come home from. He was, in Europe. He came home and he was in the OSS and John Ford's Field Photo Branch. He did a lot of that. And I was happy to, I had that wonderful film of his war work, which I was able to give you, and you could see him and hear him narrate. It was so lovely that you could at least see him, hear him when he was, handsome, young, and at his best. I love what you told me about the fact that you were watching it with your youngest, Lauren. And remember, you said it was such a galvanizing moment
because
Lauren looks like him. You can see the similarity in your son.
Yes. And Lauren was there watching it and he was like, oh my gosh, Mom. Yeah. It really hit him. Yeah. That was very much a moment. It was really a moment there.
Well, I couldn't have been more thrilled because I love the scandal of it all. I think it's very sexy.
It is kind of scandalous. And of course, at that time, how it must have been difficult for her. And I think if I had something that I would, having spent my life in obstetrics and speaking with women and seeing what women have gone through, I realize it takes a lot of courage to give up your child. It's much easier for people to take the other route where they keep the child, even though they really aren't equipped to keep a child. Many times this happens because they have family support. However, the family support can be kind of sketchy, but sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. I'm not trying to be an advocate for one way or the other, but I know it can be a very painful, difficult decision. So I'm sure, I don't know. What was her attachment? I guess that was one of my questions. If I could talk to her, did you have an attachment to me as a baby? Did you feel an attachment? Many women never attach.
Right.
And she may never have felt that attachment. So the fact that she recognized that and needed to make herself more financially stable to support two children as a single mom when she was struggling for consistent work would have been very terrible. And Carolyn told me that they were living in a friend's garage when I was a baby.
Wow. So she really struggled for income.
Yeah. So she was struggling for income. And then, of course, she could have always done what every other woman did. This was my husband's child. She was, she had been married, so she could have probably covered up my, I hate to use that word, illegitimacy.
Well, but, yeah, true. She could have.
True. She probably could have covered it up as many women could have done by saying, well, yeah, you know, this is, he died in the war or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah.
But so I don't really know and will never know. And Carolyn never knew. So that's kind of sad. So I don't really know what she ever thought. But the irony of the whole thing is that for myself, I wondered about what you wonder about when you're an adopted child. And I'm sure people that might be listening to this can recognize that if they have been adopted. You never feel a connection to your family. You feel bonded to your parent because that parent has been there. Your parent, if you're lucky enough to have good parents, been there for you and have made you feel, you know, loved and appreciated. And I knew I was adopted from the age of 4. My adoptive mother told me.
What kind of words did she use to say it to you?
She said to me, oh yeah, pretty clearly, because it was I remember being very shocked. That's what I remember. I was very, very young, but I remember going, what? I can remember thinking that. I was like 4 and I still remember.
Did she use the word adopted?
Yes, she did. But she said, she had a poem that she had kept all her life and it's still around probably somewhere. Not born, you know, born in my heart, you know, not under my heart, but born, you know, meaning physically, I didn't carry you, but you were always in my part of my heart.
Oh.
And it was lovely. I just remember that. She used very gentle words to say, I was chosen. I was somebody that she chose to be her daughter. And that she told me the story of the doctor who came to her and said, called her on the phone, I guess, and said, you've got to come. You've got to come see this baby. This baby looks like you. You need to adopt this baby. And
I
did look like I had the dark hair and the dark eyes.
Right.
But I was more fair complected, but you know, I still had the dark hair and everything. So I fit in pretty well. And so that was so exciting for them. And she always made me feel that it was a very special moment for her and it didn't matter to her. And so I remember feeling shocked that that was the truth, but I remember feeling reassured by her very strongly. She was very wise about how she chose to tell me this. So I'm pretty lucky.
That's pretty admirable for that time as well.
Especially for that time. And she had not had the best growing up times herself because her own mother, you know, she was not an unkind person, but she was not an easy person. She wasn't an educated person. And nobody was in those days about child psychology. You know that. So.
Well, your adoptive mother continues today. She's how old?
101. Amazing.
And I've met her. She's a firecracker. She's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And I can't help wondering, and didn't we talk about this, that Evelyn, your bio mother, you wondered if, because you work at Loma Linda Hospital,
right,
and have for quite a while on and off, you're not working full time like you used to, correct?
Right. I don't work full time now. No.
But we were speculating, wouldn't it be ironic if she had walked in the hospital and you'd passed each other? We don't even know if that happened, but it's plausible.
Well, what was more plausible is I was working at Hemet Valley Medical Center.
Oh, and she lived
here when she was living here.
And right.
Lived here until 1999. So she was living here locally in Hemet during that time and had been in the hospital. However, I was the nurse manager. I was a nurse and a nurse manager for a lot of the time, all the time in the obstetrics department. So I wouldn't have met her there. That's for sure.
No, right.
But for a while in my career before I left that hospital, so this would have been in the 90s, I managed a medical floor. And so along with the obstetrics and the pediatrics and everything else. And it could have been that she could have been there during that time because she'd had a stroke and she had some other medical issues. She had some heart problems. And so she was transferred to St. Bernardine's, I believe, at that time, which did cardiac stuff. And so she could have been a patient. And this is what blows my, you know, I have 3 sons. They were blown away by the fact that we had proximity to her the entire time in the 80s and 90s and never knew it. You know, so that was pretty amazing. And I'm sure that would have been pretty startling for her. So.
Well, you didn't really meet your sister Carolyn until, was it 2019?
Yeah.
From Ancestry. And then I popped up on 2020 and I was not a member of Ancestry. My cousin on my dad's side was a member of Ancestry. And he's the one that kept saying a woman is showing up on my DNA. And what was your dad and his brothers doing in 1947 in Hollywood? And I said, well, I know my dad got around, shall we say, because he was good looking and he loved beautiful women. And Evelyn, your bio mother, looked so much like my stepmother, my dad's second wife, a woman from Texas. And she went by the name Tommy. She was like number 10 of a 10 sibling family. And I was when I saw a picture you shared of me where you said you thought that was when she was actually pregnant with you, early pregnant. And she looked so much like my stepfather. I thought my dad really had a type, you know, and he was attracted to that type because my mother did not look anything. My mother was a fiery, exotic Mexican French woman that his family was horrified that he married. So, and of course it didn't last, but the woman he ended up the rest of his life with looked so much like Evelyn that I wonder if that was part of the attraction in a way. I mean, it's all speculation, certainly.
Well, she came from a family of six, just like he did. Six brothers and sisters.
Right.
From the same area. How do we know they hadn't run into each other many years back?
Exactly. You know, it's hard to imagine that they didn't know each other from Oklahoma, but then maybe they met at, like you were saying, at a club or some gathering, and that became a grounding factor. I'm from Oklahoma, you're from, you know, that kind of thing. Or it's fun to speculate, but whatever it was, I'm just thrilled to be here, and I've never been so thrilled in my life that I'm not an only child.
Well, that's just been a miracle, hasn't it? And so if we had a story to tell Evelyn, I think she'd be pretty amazed that, you know, we all came together. And did she ever consider the effect that she would have made, the long-term effect on her own daughter, on her granddaughter, which is Julie, which is Carolyn's daughter, who wanted to find me and was trying to go and look into the birth records, you know, in Los Angeles County. And I'm like, well, you never would have found me because they were, they were there, but it wouldn't have been, she didn't have any information. She didn't know when I was born or anything.
Was this a closed adoption then?
Well, at the time it was,
I guess it was,
we're all closed. And the thing of it is, and I looked in California, you cannot open adoption records unless you have a medical reason. You don't just open the records easily. And there's only a couple reasons, and mine didn't qualify. I never wanted to find my mother. So that's the irony of this whole thing.
Why is that, do you think?
Because I felt strongly that it would hurt my adoptive mother. Anything to hurt
her. Yes, right.
So when I did find out who she was actually really happy for me that I found out.
Isn't that wonderful? Because she could have reacted differently.
She could have been very bitter and angry.
And she was supportive.
She was very supportive. And she said, I think that's wonderful. And then, you know, now we know she's, you know, my adoptive mother, who's still alive at 101. You know, she's not quite as cognitively aware now. And so she doesn't quite put everything together the same way. But she still was happy and she thinks it's wonderful. She, you know, has met Carolyn many times. She's met you now. Mm-hmm, and so she just, at first she said, now, who was that lady? What was I got it straight with her, you know, and then I've shown her pictures. But when I have shown her a picture of your father, Linda, she says, I just think I have seen him somewhere before.
That's so interesting. I wonder.
She says that every time she sees any kind of picture.
Yeah, she recognizes him. But of course, he does look like your little boy, who is not a little boy anymore, but your third, your baby Lauren, is the closest of your boys to look like him. And when Lauren and my son, Michael.
Yeah, but see, my mom was out and about.
Right. She was.
My adoptive mother was out and about.
Yes.
During this, in Los Angeles and Hollywood areas too.
Yeah.
So see, who knows?
I mean,
maybe she did see him, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's really fascinating. And I just think it's wonderful that you want to just talk a little bit about your growing up, because you were adopted and then your parents were together for how many years did they stay together? Your adoptive parents?
The adoptive parents probably only stayed together from the time until I was about 2 to 3 years old.
Okay.
And they divorced.
And then your mom remarried.
My mother remarried. And I was around, not quite 5 years old, she remarried. And then we moved to, so that was my stepfather. But I was able to have both my father, my original father, my adoptive father, and a very lovely man as a stepfather. So there's another divergent thing that happened to me that hasn't happened to you or to Carolyn, is that I did have a steady father figure in my life, all my life. And so I think that makes me, and I always knew it at the time, I always counted myself very fortunate.
Oh, wow. That's
really strongly that girls need, they need a relationship with a father because it keeps them on a straight and narrow. And so yes, it's important, you know. For
no, you're very fortunate because, you know, I love my dad, but he was not the best father. He didn't really know what to do with a girl, you know, and my parents divorced. And so I would fly back and forth to, they were in San Francisco, he and his second wife, and I wasn't allowed to fly there on my own till I was 11. I remember being very impressed that I got to go on PSA Airlines and fly out to San Francisco. Cool. Yeah. You know, and people used to dress up to get on airlines those days. Yeah. And I thought I was very full of myself thinking, oh, I'm flying up to see my dad. But we only saw each other twice a year, and, you know, in my upbringing, and it was not conducive to a close relationship by any means. So you're kind of lucky that you had these wonderful parent figures in your life, especially your father, both fathers, where mm-hmm. my dad, you know, he tried, he loved his grandchildren. And of course he died back in 1997 of lung cancer, because didn't everyone smoke during World War II?
Yes, everyone.
Boomers.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately he died in Palm Springs, and we were not even speaking. I completely cut him out of my life because he was just not the best father figure. You know, I was not brought up with a decent father. My grandfather was very neglectful of him, and poverty had a lot to do with it. You know, they came... his family came out here during the Dust Bowl. You know, my dad came out here by himself on a train. I think he was like 16 or something, and tried to make a life in Hollywood. And he did. I mean, you know, he became an extra and all that in the movies, and became the photographer that he became. But, you know, I used to judge him harshly, but being a parent and flawed as I am, I try to be a little more tolerant these days. You know,
well, we all had lessons to learn from this, you know, from life. We learn lessons, which are very difficult and very sad. But I would want my adoptive mother, my biological mother, to know that I did have a happy life, and that I have always had a feeling of great gratitude for the fact that I grew up, if I was going to be given to somebody, that I grew up with somebody who always loved me. But I did have a sense of alienation, which you do have, and a little bit of sense of some abandonment.
Right.
But mine was never extreme like some people's, because yes, I think I just got on with it, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, and yeah, you were grounded.
I was in a good situation, even though my original adoptive parents divorced.
Yeah.
You know, mother remarried, and that was a stable life. And I saw my fathers, and, you know, I was very fortunate.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, I think the thing that's hard is that I never really wondered about her. I didn't, because I thought, you know, I don't want to even go down that road. And of course, when I put my DNA in, I never expected to find any living relative.
Well, didn't your granddaughter kind of spearhead you doing that, as I recall?
It was I put my DNA in on my own. It was my sons that wanted me to do it.
All right. Right.
Yeah. Especially my youngest, because they never knew our true ethnicity.
Right. Right.
It was an ethnicity hunt. It was not a relative hunt. But after you do that, as you know, you get constant emails saying you now have a third cousin looking for you.
Oh my gosh, yes, I know.
Oh my gosh, there's no way. So in a conversation with my middle son, he says, well, Mom, I get those emails, because he's also an ancestry DNA.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. And he says, oh, I get those all the time, but let me look at yours. I don't know why he did this. And that's how we found Carolyn, because that's when her DNA popped up. He says, Mom, I think you might have a sibling. I mean, that was such a shock, you know.
Yes. Well, and then, tell me about it. I was stunned.
I know.
I was just like, wow.
I still remember you starting the little email to us through Ancestry when you said, I think we could be first cousins. Oh my gosh, you're my sister.
Yes. Yes. I was just like, I was kind of gobsmacked about it and very excited at the same time, because 2020 was such a challenging year for the world.
Year.
It was something joyful to look at. So
it was a joy. Yes,
I'm very, very grateful to you for doing the show today and sharing this really important story. I think that a lot of people would benefit hearing, because I'm just grateful to God for you and the fact that your children call me and Carolyn the biologicals. I love that.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you so much for coming on today, Kathy.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you, Linda.
Likewise, I'm sure. And I hope to see you soon.
All right.
You take care. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.